Well, there are some predictions I really hate to be right about diesel. Today in Texas, as I'm recording this, diesel is $5.45 a gallon. And of course, that wasn't a difficult prediction. We could see what was happening with oil. And I said, diesel is probably going to be $5 a gallon tomorrow. I said that yesterday on my podcast. Yesterday, it was only $4.50 a gallon. So diesel's gone up $1 a gallon in one day in Texas. Now, will it stay there? It'll bounce around, but it's going to stay heightened as long as there is war with Ukraine and Russia. That's the bottom line. And it could go much higher. We could see diesel at $6 a gallon or even $7. We could see oil over $200 a barrel, even $250 at some point. This is going to play out for many, many months, maybe even a couple of years. But I want to point out something. There's a silver lining to this. And this is about thinking strategically about your own resources and your own decisions when it comes to survival and prepping. Now, you may have heard me say that I store thousands of gallons of diesel fuel. And, you know, I've been talking about that over the months. So most of the diesel I have, I bought at under $3 a gallon. So I can now run diesel for, you know, half the price of what it costs if I'm willing to use my supply. Which I'm not, by the way, so I'm not even using that. I'm still paying the full retail value on diesel right now because I think it's going to go much higher. However, you have probably been aware all this time that diesel fuels and also RVs and used trucks and so on have been very, very expensive and very hard to acquire. Well, this extreme spike in fuel prices is going to change that dynamic. It's going to put downward pressure on prices for RVs, as well as diesel vehicles, and any kind of SUVs or low gas mileage vehicles, you know, big trucks and things like that. So this might be an opportunity, if you've been waiting and looking for some larger vehicle like that, especially an RV, this might be a good opportunity to make that purchase or look at it in the next couple of weeks. You're going to see prices come down for those vehicles. Even in the middle of a supply shortage, I think for many vehicles, the prices will come down because gas is so insane. It's going to be a lot of owners out there, especially for RVs, that are going to say, whoa, there's no way I'm going to fill up my RV tank for $300. It's just not worth it anymore. Let's just sell the RV. So there's going to be more supply on the market. And that's a good way to take advantage of this. And why might you want an RV? Well, you know, some people are using it as a bug out vehicle, in a planned bug out from a city or a suburb. And that's not a bad plan. You just have to be able to leave really early. You know, you got to get out way before the masses are aware that society is collapsing. Because if you're bugging out in an RV during a collapse, you're just a big, fat, juicy target. Everybody's like, wow, look, it's a supply truck on wheels. They're going to rob you. But if times are still relatively normal, an RV is a great way to get away. Maybe you have a place you can park it on a friend's driveway out in the country, maybe, or not necessarily the driveway, but in their yard or wherever. Maybe you have a place out in the country where you have some land, but you don't have a house there yet. So you live in the RV. That's a very reasonable plan. And a lot of people have that plan, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's better than sticking around in the city when everything starts collapsing. And it's pretty clear that food riots are going to begin this year. And that's one of my predictions. And with fuel prices now through the roof, this is going to exacerbate the problem with food inflation. See, because fuel and food are two things that everybody needs, or nearly everybody, on the fuel part. I mean, some people don't own cars, but most people have some kind of vehicle that they drive around and it needs fuel. So if you think about their discretionary income that's going to the fuel now, that leaves less income available for food. And so then food inflation becomes more and more treacherous, or painful, shall we say, to those people because they have less discretionary income available. The other thing is people spend a lot of money on heating their homes, and that's an energy expenditure. So right now, we're moving out of the winter, obviously, in North America anyway, and we're moving into more of a summertime scenario soon where people will be using electricity for air conditioning. It's very likely that electricity prices will go up, but not as much as heating fuel prices will go up next winter. So as we get into next winter, or even just the cooler months like October, especially in the northern states or Canada, or even September, then you're going to see people having a triple threat to their finances, which is number one, higher fuel prices for their vehicle. Number two, higher food prices because of the scarcity and, you know, all the things going on. And then number three, higher heating prices if they heat their homes with heating oil or any kind of a fossil fuel related heat source. That's going to go through the roof. It makes me really happy that I filled up my propane tank, I think 2 months ago, which it's a pretty big tank and it lasts me a couple of years, by the way. So I'm not going to have to buy propane for a while, especially if I practice some common sense conservation, you know, like shorter showers and things like that. It's going to last me a while. But a lot of people are going to be forced to buy heating fuel, you know, each month or every couple of weeks based on what they're consuming, where they are. That's going to be very, very expensive. So then the question becomes, well, what happens when people just can't afford all this stuff? They just can't. They don't have the money to buy the food, the fuel, the heating, all of it. And at some point, it becomes social unrest. At some point, the people rise up. And this is an economic strata type of question. It's not about politics because, you know, Democrats can for a while tell themselves things like, oh, we should suffer and pay more because we're socking it to Putin, which is not even true, but that's what they think. But that only goes so far. You know, if you're at the grocery store and bread is $10 a loaf, you might be able to tell yourself, yeah, we're hurting Putin. Let's just keep buying $10 bread. But then at some point when bread is $20 a loaf, people are going to be thinking, are we hurting Putin or are we just hurting ourselves here? Who's actually hurting? Because it feels like we're hurting. They're going to ask that question, a moment of self-awareness, maybe a little red pill moment when bread is $20, which may be coming. You know, not for all the bread, but sort of the high-end breads, let's say. Wonder bread will always be cheap, but I'm talking about, you know, multi-grain, I don't know, sprouted bread, what have you. You'll see $20 a loaf maybe in a year or 18 months, something like that. And then one more thing, adding to all of this, the Federal Reserve will be printing money like mad because this is the only thing that governments know how to do is print more money and try to bail more people out with more printed money. So, you know, they're going to have bailout programs for, you know, heating assistance, food assistance. There's going to be 20 million more Americans on food stamps, maybe more. And the Democrats are going to love that because they love to impoverish people and make them dependent on government. But as all this is happening, a lot of Americans are going to get red-pilled and realize, hey, the dollar's losing all its value here. Inflation will become not just 20% or 40%. For some things, it'll become 100%. I mean, that's already happened in fuel, and it's going to happen with food or many food items. And so, you know, what happens to people's expectations of being able to live if the dollar loses half its value every year, so to speak, or close to that? Yeah, that's, again, you're going to end up with revolutions and riots and social unrest and very unhappy people and mass starvation and food lines and all kinds of things and crime, huge increases in crime. So understand, this is all coming. It can't be stopped at this point. We're going to live through this, and it's all engineered. So this has been planned by the globalists, by the Democrats. They want to collapse America, and this is how they are achieving exactly that result. All right? So I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news here, and understand that the context in which I'm stating this is that if you're prepared, you know, you don't have to suffer to the extent that a lot of unprepared people will suffer because you have advanced knowledge. You have advanced preparedness. You have way more knowledge because you've been maybe listening to my podcast, for example. So you know how to grow food, how to make your own medicine, how to extract herbs using an ultrasonic cleaning device, you know, things like that. So you're going to be way better off than most, but a lot of mainstream oblivious people are going to suffer quite horribly and some will die. I just want you to be clear in your mind about what's coming so that it's not a shock when it happens. All right. So again, count your blessings for being prepared and help as many people as you can along the way. But don't be shocked when people die. That's kind of the best raw advice I can give you, I think, right now. We can't stop this. We're not the ones in control. We didn't cause this. We're just trying to navigate it and help people not suffer to the best extent that we can. All right, so I'll bring you more tips and strategies for how to survive all this. You can find my podcast, of course, at Brighteon.com. My channel is HR Report, and you can read my articles at naturalnews.com. Thank you for listening.